What's that? Who pays your salary? What's that? Who pays? What's that?
We're not a democracy!
This is the Tyler Morgan Show on Relentless Daring Media Network.
Welcome back to Land of Bourbon and Bad Decisions. This week, I am not live at twitch.tv/Tyler Morgan Show. Therefore, there will be no video at youtube.com/@TheTylerMorganShow or at rumble.com/Tyler Morgan Show. Having some issues with the technology and stuff, so you just get the audio this week. And for that, I upon my glorious mug. But that being said, let's get into the craziness of the week. But first, coffee. Yes, that's right. Coffee beverage. If you don't count all these bottles of whiskey above my head on the wall. Seriously, though, I love coffee. And the best coffee that I have found is the coffee from American Pride Roasters. Yes, American Pride Roasters hand roasting all their coffee in Runnels, Iowa since whenever Dave moved to Runnels, Iowa and escaped from Des Moines. But that's beside the point. But they have such great coffee, so many great flavors. If you're into flavored coffee, Doc's Bacon Blast. Nothing like coffee and bacon. So when you combine the flavors, it is absolutely outstanding. Or maybe you're just into the regular plain, just drinking it for the coffee. You know, I mean, I have so many favorites. It's really hard to say which one is just my favorite. I mean, the Calvin Coolidge, amazing. The Teddy Roosevelt is just on point. Frederick Douglass, Chef's Kiss. It's all great. Check them out at aprcoffee.com. And see what kind of tickles your fancy there in the, again, the ways of regular unflavored coffee, the flavored coffees, the coffee drops, feel like a little chocolate and coffee mixed together. I mean, so many great things. APR Coffee, historically great coffee. All right, so holy moly, it has been a heckin' week in the ways of Donald Trump. More specifically with all the Georgia stuff. Now, I'm not going to weigh in on my opinions as far as the charges go. However, the big story has been the whole Fannie Willis, Nathaniel Wade affair. Were they having an affair before the trial started? Were they having an affair before he was appointed as the special prosecutor? Was there any way that they were, was there a proper way of keeping track of, you know, we did this trip together and here's what I paid. Here is, you know, where Fannie Willis paid for this and then he paid her back and it's, you know, itemized and well accounted for. No, because they paid cash. You know, everyone talks about how a lot of critics of Bitcoin and other, and all that, Ethereum and all of these things.
Oh, well, you can use it to hide criminal actions and unethical things.
Well, here's the problem with Bitcoin and Ethereum and all that. It's traded using blockchain technology. And with blockchain technology, it makes a record of transactions. And I don't remember the exact story. I think it had something to do with the Russians doing something criminal. And they were found out because there was a money trail using Bitcoin, and they were able to trace all of these people who were involved because of the blockchain technology keeping a record of the transaction. Cold hard cash, however, and this is what pisses the government off, it can't be traced. Unless you have marked bills or sequential serial numbers that have been logged that, hey, we know these bills are being used for XYZ. You usually see this in, you know, any sort of hostage situation where demanding a large ransom, and you know, they will get non-sequential bills, but you know, as that money is being packaged, they have a scanner that reads all the serial numbers. They can track the serial numbers. You know, whenever they go through the Fed, like, oh, where did this come from? What bank did this come out of? But anyways, it's really easy to use cash to hide shady stuff, which really seems like what was going on with Wade and Willis is that, you know, he could say he gave X amount of cash that, you know, there's no record of him taking from the bank because, you know, he didn't use the bank as, you know, one of, I think it was an uncle or someone close to him. Yeah, black people, we don't trust the banks. We only use cash. Okay, that was really weird non sequitur there, but okie dokie. So he's paying her back with cash. There's no receipts from her showing I spent this much money and he paid me back this much money and it's even balance. But anyways, the judge made the ruling and it was a meh ruling. It wasn't a great ruling. It wasn't terribly horrible ruling, but it wasn't great. And if I can pull up the right article. All right, so Fulton County District Attorney Fannie Willis can prosecute Donald Trump on charge that he interfered in Georgia's 2020 election. Huh. How quaint. Now the special prosecutor with whom she had a romantic relationship has withdrawn from the case. But the long-term impacts of allegations of impropriety that have roiled the case for weeks remain to be seen, with Trump and his allies certain to continue to attack the legitimacy of the prosecution against former president and 18 others. Fulton County Superior Court Judge Scott McAfee ruled Friday that Willis could stay as Special Prosecutor Nathan Wade left, or vice versa. She leaves and he can continue to prosecute. That's what that one boiled down to. That was a partial victory for Willis, whom defense attorneys had pushed to have removed from the case over her relationship with Wade. But the judge also her tremendous. I love that. It's a Donald Trump word. Everyone knows Donald Trump loves the word tremendous. Tremendous. China. Tremendous. Tremendous lapse in judgment and questioned the truthfulness of Wade and her testimony. Of Wade's and her testimony about the timing of their relationship. Which, there was cell phone data, you know, pinging their phones at the same, at his apartment building, or his phone at her apartment, whatever, in the middle of the night, before, you know, the trial really started before he was even appointed. But, you know, it's just a lapse in judgment. It's not corruption. You can't prosecute Joe Biden because you'll come across as an enfeebled old man. And how can you prosecute someone who is just going to come across looking, he's just forgetful. He forgot he had those classified documents. It's an extraordinary decision in a case that in recent weeks has taken on a soap opera atmosphere as prosecutors who pledged to hold Trump accountable had their own personal lives thrust into the spotlight. Gotta love the AP. Absolutely have to love the AP. Their own personal lives. I'm sorry. Forget evidence of public corruption. Evidence of nepotism that he got the case. Something that he does not handle. His career is family law and personal injury. If he's not making his millions off of couples terminating their marriages, he's chasing a freaking ambulance. Since when in the history of lawyering, in the history of litigation, do you get someone who has not practiced criminal law, either as a prosecutor of some sort or as a criminal defense attorney who understands criminal law? You take this person who's only done civil law their entire practicing career and you put them in charge of a prosecution, a very, very, very public and high-profile prosecution of a former president, campaign aides, campaign staff members, local party bosses, his attorneys. Yeah, this is a giant RICO case. I mean, you're not going to take... It's like taking Brad Bradshaw. If you're not from Southwest Missouri, you do not know who Dr. Brad Bradshaw is. He is a surgeon who became an attorney. And he practices not criminal defense, but personal injury. I see his ads on TV and local TV all the time. It's like taking Brad Bradshaw and making him a special prosecutor for going after public corruption here in Missouri, Eric Greitens. I'm going to pick him up. It's like the biggest one I can think of and from Missouri. You know, Eric Greitens, who was charged with a crime that there was no evidence of. I mean, the evidence was pictures that never actually existed. He took pictures. Okay, well, he turned over his cell phone and this, that, and the other. There's no pictures. But anyways, I digress. The ADHD is acting up, and I'm just kind of everywhere. I apologize. So anyways, you have a family law slash personal injury attorney being appointed to this high-profile RICO case, again, with no history of practicing criminal law in any way, shape, or form. And it just happens that he is banging the district attorney who has leveled these charges, who has brought these charges, who is running this case, and she gives her boyfriend the case. And the AP acts like it's their personal lives. Oh my gosh. These are the same people who said, I don't care if Bill Clinton's getting a blowjob under the desk at the Oval Office. He's not hurting anybody. He's running the country. He's doing a dang fine job. Why do we care? I apologize for just going straight in and saying that phrase. I'm a little wound up. But the point remains. They're excusing bad behavior because they're going after someone they don't like. Oh, they're personalized. It's been just dragged through the mud. So back to the article. The judge's ruling threw it to Willis to decide whether she and her entire office would step aside or whether Wade would withdraw from the case. The judge said the prosecution couldn't move forward until one of those two actions was taken. Several hours after the ruling came down, Wade offered his resignation and Willis accepted it. If Willis had instead opted to step aside, the case would have been referred to the Prosecuting Attorney's Council, a nonpartisan association of Georgia district attorneys, to be assigned to a different prosecutor. That could have upended the entire prosecution. Another prosecutor could have continued on the track that Willis had taken, or could have chosen to pursue only some charges, or could have dropped the case altogether, which is probably the biggest reason why they didn't want to do it, because outside of Cobb County, Fulton County, I forget what all, there's like three or four counties that make up the general area of Atlanta. Atlanta's a big freaking city. Maybe not as big a population, but geographically, it's freaking huge if you've ever had to be there. It is spread out over a huge area. Like St. Louis, Missouri is generally St. Louis County. And granted, you have South County, Jefferson County, St. Charles County around the area that's mostly the suburbs. But Atlanta itself, not counting the suburbs around it, takes up a huge area. So it's kind of pointing that out. And once you get outside of those areas, I mean, they could assign a prosecutor from like Savannah or Columbus, which are also two pretty blue areas of the state. But if they picked some guy from out of a hat, way down south central, almost to Florida, or northwest Georgia, getting up towards Chattanooga, Tennessee, you're going to be running a huge risk of getting a conservative prosecutor who's going to look at those charges and go, and look at the evidence and say, well, okay. Half of this crap is going away. All these other people with conspiracy, blah, 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 blah. We're just dropping those charges. Just looking at Trump, and we're going to drop XYZ charges. Now he has like five counts. Or it could be like, but be like, no, we don't see that there was ever any evidence that a crime occurred. All charges are dropped. And we'll recommend dropping all charges and vacating the pleas of those who have already been prosecuted, like Jenna Ellis and a few others. And that is a huge risk that Fannie Willis's office did not want to take. So she told her boyfriend, hey, I'll meet you back at the apartment tonight at 5. Just go ahead and resign and, you know, no hard feelings. You did your best. We didn't know we were going to get caught. The defense attorney who first revealed the romantic relationship, Ashley Merchant, argued that Willis paid Wade large sums for his work and then improperly benefited from the prosecution of the case when Wade used his earnings to pay for vacations for the two of them. That, again, there's no evidence that she paid him back. And that is where the whole public corruption thing kind of comes in. Wilson Wade argued that the district attorney received no financial benefit from the relationship and that she either paid for things herself or used cash to reimburse Wade for travel expenses. Again, there is no register showing how much she paid. Judge McAfee called it concerning that there were no documents to corroborate Wilson's claims she paid Wade back. But he said Wilson's testimony, quote, withstood direct contradiction, end quote, and was corroborated by other evidence, including her purchase of a flight for two in 2022. That led the judge to conclude that the claim was not so incredible as to be inherently unbelievable. See, I don't understand how it withstood any direct contradiction. But the judge said there's no way to know for sure that Wilson Wade's expenses were split evenly. So where was the direct contradiction to these allegations if there's no evidence? If there's no evidence to support their defense of against the allegations. I guess the lack of evidence in and of itself was the direct contradiction to their testimony. Judge said there's no way to know for sure, blah, blah, blah. And Wills, quote, may well have received a net benefit of several hundred thousand dollars, end quote. But McAfee said that the defendants didn't provide sufficient evidence to prove that Willis financially may have received. Again, this is one of those, if you look at the whole saying of the perception is reality, especially when it comes to like sexual harassment law. You can be joking with a buddy about something non-sexual and then out of nowhere, someone walks in, hears a snippet of that conversation. They took it as sexual. Next thing you know, you're being drugged to HR because you sexually harassed them. It's like, well, I wasn't even talking to them. Well, you don't have to. They can just overhear a conversation. We weren't talking about anything sexual. Well, they perceive it as that, so you're getting a warning. Just the whole thing that it smells, it looks, it kind of tastes like public corruption should tell you this is public corruption. And then may have had a net benefit of several hundred dollars. I'm sorry. Even if it's a net benefit of $20, because you're being shady as all get out. But again, there's no way to prove that with her reimbursements, she took a loss on some stuff, that he took a loss on other things for this net gain of a couple hundred dollars. There's no evidence of that. This is just a judge making stuff up out of thin air. Furthermore, McAfee concluded that enriching herself through her relationship with Wade was not a motivating factor in Willis's decision to bring the case. No, it was her decision to give him the case that she was already bringing, you dumbass. Just the whole thing, this whole thing comes down to fruit of the poison tree. Because of the public corruption and the grift of giving your boyfriend this super high profile case and then, you know, he's using you know, the money that he built the White House for. Remember the White House said that, oh, we have nothing to do with this prosecution? He sent them an invoice. He went to Washington, D.C., and he billed them. He billed the White House to go there. Excuse me? You're saying that he did this? Yeah, this is one of those things that it just blows my mind. How in the world have we gotten here? All right, so the judge noted Willis was not financially destitute throughout this time or in any great need, but was making more than $200,000 per year. He also said there's no indication she was trying to prolong the case to rake in more money, knowing that prosecutors had initially wanted the case to go to trial less than 6 months after they brought the indictment. Attorneys for Trump and others said Willis' public statements about the case veered into the realm of misconduct, saying she expressed her belief in the guilt of the defendants. I mean, that's what all prosecutors do. There's a reason they're prosecuting. They believe they're guilty. You don't prosecute someone who you think is not guilty, so. McAfee noted that he had to consider whether the remarks were part of a calculated plan to prejudice the defendants in the minds of future jurors. It's obviously always part of the plan. When the jury pool is just inundated with coverage about Donald Trump, he told Brad Raffensperger, blah, 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 blah. And we're and making these statements all the time. That's the whole point. Oh, we're not trying to prejudice the potential jury pool, but we're going to do all this stuff and put it all over the media because, you know, it prejudices the jury pool. McAfee noted that he had to consider, He said comments must be egregiously improper to justify disqualification. I mean, The judge found statements Willis made describing the charges in the indictment, her office's conviction rates, and personal anecdotes were not disqualifying. That extended to her unorthodox decision to speak on the record to authors of a book about the special grand jury investigation that preceded the indictment he wrote. So everything is supposed to be secret in the grand jury, but she talked to authors about it? I'm sorry. If I'm a member of that grand jury and I speak on the record about what happened in that grand jury, about testimony given from either side, my decision to go one way or the other to indict or issue a no bill, that opens me up to criminal prosecution. But because she's the prosecutor, she can participate in a tell-all book about, here's what we did in the grand jury, blah, 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 blah. What part of a secret grand jury means anything if the defense... If defense attorneys can come out and say, this is what the prosecutor was doing during the grand jury, and they get in trouble. If the jurors on said grand jury come out and explain everything that goes on, that went on during the grand jury, that they're sworn to secrecy on, but the prosecutor can talk to a freaking author about it, really? A speech gave a historic black church in Atlanta less than a week after the allegations of the relationship with Wade surfaced was a different matter, the judge wrote. Willis complained those remarks that people had questioned her decision to hire Wade and questioned his qualifications, seeming to suggest the criticism arose from the fact that she and Wade are black. Yes, the race card. Nothing trumps the race card because that's obviously the only reason anyone could have a problem with the dude who's stooping you, who has never prosecuted or defended a criminal case in his life, getting the special prosecutor assignment to prosecute this case. McAfee noted the speech did not mention any defendant by name and did not address the merits of the charges in the case or disclose any sensitive or confidential evidence. He said he didn't find that it crossed the line to point that defendants couldn't have a fair trial. But it was still legally improper, he wrote. Providing this type of public comment creates dangerous waters for the district attorney to wade further into. But if it was legally improper, why are you giving her a pass? He knew that may well be time for an order preventing prosecutors from mentioning a case in public to prevent presidential prejudicial pretrial publicity. They put that alliteration in there on purpose to screw with me. But he said that was not the issue currently before him. McAfee recently made his own public statements about the case. He said in an interview on WSB Radio last week that he'd had a rough draft of his ruling ready before he knew that anyone planned to challenge him in a May election and that the result is not going to change because of politics. When a WSB TV reporter snagged him on the sidelines of a Rotary Club lunch Thursday, McAfee said the ruling would be out Friday and, quote, no ruling of mine is ever going to be based on politics, end quote. McAfee was appointed to his seat by Georgia's Republican governor and faced two challengers in a May election. The race is nonpartisan, but Fulton County is a Democratic stronghold, meaning the judges running against him are probably Democrats. Wade was questioned on a stand about statements he had made in his divorce case that he hadn't been romantically involved with anyone other than his wife during their marriage. His patently unpersuasive explanation for these inaccuracies, quote, indicates a willingness on his part to wrongly conceal his relationship with the district attorney, end quote. McAfee also found himself unable to determine the answer to a central question in the evidentiary hearing. Whether Willis and Wade began the romantic relationship before she hired him. Neither side provided sufficient evidence to make a conclusive determination. But he said, an odor of mendacity remains. He wrote that reasonable questions about whether Willis and Wade testified truthfully about that timing, quote, further underpin the finding of an appearance of impropriety and need to make proportional efforts to cure it, end quote. Again, if it looks like a duck, it walks like a duck, it swims like a duck, it quacks like a duck, it's a freaking duck. Seriously. There is enough evidence to raise the question. If there's enough evidence to make you go, well, that seems really, really bad. Odds are, it is really bad. This hearing was not a jury trial where you need to have, 100% conclusive evidence to convict beyond a reasonable doubt. This is one of those, the preponderance of evidence situations. And the preponderance of the evidence says, hey, these two were making the beast with two backs. Thank you, Neil Bortz, for that one. Before she hired him. And so it really looks like this is a case that reeks of public corruption. And both of them should probably be disbarred. Her more so, because I think him taking the case offered to him by his girlfriend is bad. I don't think it's great. But the fact that she is an elected official and assigning a special prosecutor. Now, these aren't things that take an open bid. She has to say, who do I know that is best qualified for this job to prosecute this case? I know the guy who I've been banging for the last 2 years. He is perfect because with his huge experience in personal injury law and family law, he would be a great prosecutor. Yeah, that is the much bigger offense, in my opinion, than him taking the case that was offered to him. So, I don't know. It's just so ridiculously bad on all levels. But I have one more thing I'd like to cover before I call this a night for recording. And this one will probably get me in trouble. And thank goodness I'm not on YouTube for this episode. But yeah, I might make the audio available on YouTube. Unfortunately, still, you don't get to see my glorious mug. But we've all heard the talks of the long COVID. You get COVID, all these symptoms for months after. Oh, my God, I'm dying. Taylor Lorenz has been dying of long COVID for like 17 years. She's been dying of long COVID since before there was COVID. She is like the biggest purveyor of long COVID. Now, I have seen long COVID. It involved my next-door neighbor. He was 80 years old. Well, 79 years old when he got COVID. He turned 80 in the hospital when he was there when his COVID turned into pneumonia. And it took him forever to fully recover. He had circulation issues for months. It took him a long time to get to where he didn't need supplemental oxygen all the time. And a big portion of that, you know, was because he was just so weak after having COVID. I mean, he lost 30 pounds. He damn near died. And we were scared to death that he was going to die because that's how freaking sick he was. And, you know, when his daughter, you know, moved in with him, she was living in Texas at the time and she said, oh, I'm taking care of my dad. And, you know, she said COVID be damned and she came up here. And basically moved in with them. And, you know, my wife and I were helping them with everything up to that point. And, you know, she moved in with them. And basically, Dad, you're going to get up. You're going to walk across the living room, walk back to your chair. You're going to walk here. You're going to walk there. And she basically got him up moving. She got him like an exercise bike. He started, you know, doing stuff on the exercise bike, you know, and now here it is, you know, was it 4 years later? And, you know, he still uses that bike. I mean, it's good for him. And that's how he got over his long COVID. It's just, you know, he basically got up and got moving. But anyways, back to the whole idea of long COVID. Top government health chief declares long COVID doesn't really exist. Study finds flu impairs more people in the long term. A new study has found the post-viral effects of COVID-19 are no worse than other respiratory illnesses such as the flu. The study's author, a top government health official in Australia's state of Queensland, declared that it was time to retire the long COVID term because it is harmful and misleading. Huh. Yet, I put this on YouTube, and I definitely put in the show notes that I discussed long COVID and that it's not really a real thing. This will get taken down for medical misinformation. But it's a doctor, it's a freaking doctor, pointing out that the idea of long COVID is, in fact, the medical misinformation. Dr. John Gerard is Queensland's chief health officer, a leading infectious disease specialist, and previously was the director of infectious diseases at Gold Coast Hospital. Gerard is also the lead author of a recent study that found the post-viral effects of COVID-19 to be equal to or even less severe than other respiratory illnesses. We believe it's time to stop using terms like long COVID. They wrongly imply there is something unique and exceptional about longer-term symptoms associated with this virus, Gerard proclaimed. This terminology can cause unnecessary fear and, in some cases, hypervigilance to longer symptoms that can impede recovery. Yeah. Yep. And honestly, it really feeds to people who are prone to hypochondria anyways. If you tell people that, you know, stubbing your toe is a symptom of long COVID, yeah, you'll be 3 years down the road, you'll stub your toe. That's a long COVID, I stubbed my toe. And it's honestly hugely misleading. I've had bronchitis where once the initial sickness was gone, you know, you go through your course of antibiotics, 10 days of amoxicillin, azithromycin, whatever they put you on, and you're on the prescription strength expectorants to cough that crap up so it's not sitting in your lungs being just turned to gunk, then where it's still, once the initial sickness is over with, you've gone through the meds, where you still kind of short of breath, okay, it takes time. Same thing with COVID-19. I had COVID a couple of times. You know, it was suckier than when my wife had it the first time around. And, you know, for the first few days, you're running the fever and you're coughing, all the lymph nodes in your neck are swelled up, and you can't hardly move. You got the body aches, kind of like when you have the flu. Yeah, it was bad. And, you know, it took a couple weeks before you're finally fully over it. You know, you finish coughing up the crap, and you start to feel good again. But I never once claimed long COVID. I honestly believe a lot of the people who claim long COVID are the attention-seeking crowd. I've got the long COVID. Feel sorry for me. Oh, my God. A study examined 5,112 adults who had symptoms of a respiratory illness and underwent PCR testing between May and June of 2022. Of those individuals, 2,399 tested positive for COVID-19, while 995 tested positive for influenza, and 1,718 tested negative for both. A year after the PCR test, the participants in the study were asked about ongoing symptoms. Other respondents, 16% said they felt ongoing symptoms a year later, and 3.6% reported moderate to severe impairment. In fact, the people who were infected with the flu had a higher rate of impairments a year later, according to the study. According to progressive outlet The Guardian, the 3% of the study participants who had ongoing impairments after COVID-19 infection was similar to the 3.4% with ongoing impairments after influenza. Australian Broadcasting Corporation reported,
Dr. Gerard said 94% of participants who reported the moderate to severe level functional limitations experienced fatigue, post-exertion symptom exacerbation, brain fog, and changes to taste and smell a year after their infection.
Gerard will present the study next month at the European Congress of Clinical Microbiology and Infectious Diseases in Barcelona. Our evidence suggests that it is not dissimilar to other viruses. Huh. That's tricky wording. That does not mean you can't get these persistent symptoms following COVID-19, but you're no more likely to get it after COVID than with other respiratory viruses. Gerard emphasized, but in the vast majority of people, recovery is the norm. Gerard said Friday during a press conference, I want to make it clear that the symptoms that some patients described after having COVID-19 are real, and we believe they are real. What we are saying is that the incidence of these symptoms is no greater in COVID-19 than it is with other respiratory viruses, and that to use this term long COVID is misleading and, I believe, harmful, end quote. You hear that, censors? I'm quoting the doctor who did the study. So if you try to take my episode down, believe me, I will repost it with the note, kiss my butt. And it's just all this talk about long COVID. You know, like I said, I've known some people who had some weird long-term flu symptoms. I had a teacher who openly admitted that he used to smoke. It was until he had a really bad case of the flu. And with that really bad case of the flu, it affected his sense of taste and sense of smell so much that he had to quit smoking because it was just smelled so horrible and tasted awful. You know, so yeah, I do believe that there are certain things that you do suffer a physiological reaction when you get sick. Yeah, I know the people who their first clue they had COVID was, so I don't feel bad, but I can't taste anything. I can't smell anything. And then within a day or two, they start running the fever and they get the cough. So yeah, there's physiological things that happen. Some people have, some really weird reactions, especially autoimmune reactions. Like one of the biggest killers of when COVID first happened wasn't the illness itself. It was a chitosine storm, where your body has a huge autoimmune overreaction and your body starts attacking itself. There's a young man who graduated with the daughter's boyfriend. As a result of COVID, as a teenager, and this chitosine storm, it started attacking the blood vessels and the vascular system in his arms and legs. And to prevent him from developing gangrene and dying, they had to amputate both arms at the elbows and both legs at the knee. And, you know, I think he was actually a grade ahead of my daughter's boyfriend, but, you know, due to the obvious long-term hospitalization from recovering from a quadruple amputation, and I think it also affected, like, because of the fever, it affected his, you know, mental well-being, his cognitive ability. He actually had to graduate a year behind, but, you know, when he walked across that stage and was handed his diploma, I mean, small town school in the middle of nowhere, everybody's on their feet and everyone who's from that town is just bawling their eyes out because this kid's a freaking hero. Yeah, so I'm not saying that there has not been some really weird and very significant effects of COVID, but the whole idea that, you know, long COVID like Taylor Lorenz claims,
I still have all this fatigue years later, and
have you tried vitamin B? Vitamin B, especially B12. B12 is great for helping with energy. Try some stuff. Maybe you're just deficient. I'll let you write your own jokes there, because I'm not that mean. Well, maybe I am, but it's neither here nor there. But yeah, long COVID, it turns out it's not as prevalent as the fearmongers would like you to think. That's good news, and it's always great to end on good news. So that's going to wrap it up for this week. Again, I apologize for my computer going wonky and not wanting to run anything to be able to live stream. So you're just getting audio this week. I feel so bad for you. I really do. And again, thank you for listening on podcast. If you, again, YouTube or Rumble, if you want to find me there and hopefully stuff works out and I can actually put video up, you can subscribe. Again, youtube.com/@TheTylerMorganShow. Rumble.com, search The Tyler Morgan Show. You will find me. Be sure to like the videos, hit the subscribe button, smash the subscribe button, not your mic boom. Just something to remember for the future. Smash that subscribe button, then hit the bell, get notifications whenever things pop up. And it will be fun. It will be great. You'll get to see my glorious mug, see my bearded glory. It's all awesome. Again, if you're listening to this on podcast, it's your first time listening, please subscribe. After you've subscribed, go back, listen to a few episodes. Then do me a favor and rate it. Look for 5 stars. I'll accept 4. 3 and below, hit me up on the Twitters @FakeTylerMorgan. My DMs are always open, and you can tell me why you felt you need to give me a 3 or below. Be constructive. Help me make this better for you. That's all I ask. Once you have rated it, please write a review. Say something nice. Kind of embellish a little. Don't get carried away. I don't want you to oversell it. But just say something nice. That way when people, it pops up as, well, you may like this podcast from this guy you've never heard of. And they can read through the reviews and say, oh, people generally like him. Maybe I'll check it out. Or, you know, but if you give me a 1-star rating and say something just really dumb, you know, you say I'm a Alex Jones wannabe or I talk too much about myself, believe me, I will bring it up and I will make fun of you because that is what I do. If you can't tell, that is exactly why I said those two very, very specific things. Lastly, the last thing I'm going to ask, please share this episode or the podcast in general with someone who you think will enjoy the show. Send someone who you think will absolutely hate the show and get really mad at you. Just be like, hey. I was just trying to broaden your horizons. Don't be mad at me. I didn't say the horrible things. Be mad at Tyler. He said the horrible things. And believe me, I will feel the seething and the coping coming off of them from however far away, and it will just, I get that nice flutter in my heart going, oh, someone's mad at me. Yay. It's great. Again, thank you so much for listening. As always, stay relentless.
The Tyler Morgan Show is a Relentless Daring Media production. The Tyler Morgan Show is supported by its listeners. To support the show, go to ko-fi.com/Tyler Morgan Show to donate there, or relentlessdaring.com and hit the donate button at the top of the page to set up your donation. All music used in the Tyler Morgan Show is used with permission from purpleplanet.com, link in the show notes. 2 Timothy 1:7.